I'm Lex, she's Jen, and we are the Blatchelorettes. In this week's episode, we're covering a bunch of stuff. We're covering what we feel like covering. This is, just in case y'all forgot, this is our new format, supposed to be our new format. 45 minutes. Let's see if we can get it. Let's see if we can get it together in 45 minutes.
We can do it. I'm confident. And because I'm so confident, I'm going to start talking about all the stuff that I know Lex hasn't been paying attention to
in this past couple of weeks. In my intro, let me just tell y'all, I have not been watching TV. So Jen's basically going to explain everything and then we're going to discuss it. So for those of you who haven't watched anything, it's cool. We're on the same page, okay?
Yeah, we're all good. So I'm going to start with Bachelorverse, and then we're just going to segue from there, okay? So Bachelor in Paradise and The Golden Bachelor start on September 28th. As we kind of discussed last time with Ashley, we're talking about the Grey's Anatomy time slot that it's taking
over
on Thursday nights.
Wait, they're both starting at the same, on the 28th?
Yes.
Whoa, BIP and Golden Bachelor. Is that like 4 hours of Bachelorverse every Thursday?
Is it three or four? I don't know what the time running is supposed to be, but
I guess we have to see.
I imagine it's taking the whole block. So 8 to 9, 9 to 10. What time was news on ABC? You know what? I don't actually know.
It's 11. So maybe it's a 3 hour block of just Bachelor stuff every Thursday.
Yes, quite possibly. Because I think Claim to Fame was also supposed to be on. There's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, we're doing the thing. So I'm living for the Bachelor in Paradise promos. They're leaning into the quirky, the fun, because we all know we can't take Bachelor in Paradise seriously. Like we talked about last time from the, you know, the doctors coming because she hasn't pooped in many days.
Oh, my God.
To, like, the wave washing them away, making out on the beach. Like, I that think this is so necessary to keep the show fresh and fun.
Yes.
It is the only way you're going to keep people's interest in the mm-hmm. show. And I think it was also genius of them to put The Golden Bachelor like right alongside it premiere-wise, because that way you're kind of looking like, oh, okay, all right, Golden Bachelor. Even if you're not interested in it, you're kind of, you know, you'll watch it because it's right before Paradise.
Right. It's like, okay, I'm here.
You know?
I'm here.
My favorite show,
Paradise, is coming on. Might as well.
Yes, exactly. And so they dropped the first official full cast photo, I think yesterday or today, for The Golden Bachelor. So Grandpa, with all his women's, all the grandmas. And of course, Matt James's mother is a part of this. So she is, you know,
Wild. That's wild. Matt James's mother is on The Bachelor. I bet that wasn't on anybody's bingo card.
It was not. I don't think it was, but I mean, if you want the spoilers that I've heard so far, but I mean, no one will be surprised. I don't think she's going to win. She's not going to get Grandpa's heart. That's not happening.
I don't think that's her type.
I don't think anything's happening here. No. I'm just saying, I don't disagree with you. I just don't think it's happening. I don't think that they're going to end up together. Yeah. Again, I haven't seen their chemistry on the show. Who knows? Sometimes people go far on the show, further than you expect.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, based on what I know about Matt James's mother, based on what we've seen in the past, I don't see that happening.
Exactly. But I didn't even know she was single. But I guess, you know, they had to talk about how Matt James's dad was a deadbeat dad on the show. So I guess it's implied.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time focused on, you know, the neglectful, you know, black parent thing. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's see. So what else is happening? I'm going to skip down to Charity. So, you know, Charity picked Dotton on her season of The Bachelorette. People are loving them together as a couple. However, I'm having some weird feelings about Dotton right now. And the reason why I'm having these feelings is because he has made comments in an interview with Charity claiming that black women were the biggest group of people dissing him on the internet.
Oh, Lord.
And were not supporting him and Charity's relationship. And I want to know. And my question was, are these black women in the room with us right now?
Exactly.
Because
I'm like, who? Name some names. I need some names named. I need some lists listed. Okay? Who exactly is not supportive of black love right now? Like, I need to know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who exactly it is. Which of these mysterious black women, he claims we're not supporting him in charity.
Exactly. Like, if it's one thing I know about Black women in Bachelorverse, we are starved for Black love and affection. We are not going to bite the hand that feeds us with charity and Doton right now. We're not going to do that. So who is he talking about?
Even the interracial girlies love the Black love, okay? Even the interracial girlies. So
exactly. Who is hating on that? Who is really hating on it? Anyway, I'm not really on Twitter like that, so maybe people aren't.
I don't know what this man's talking about, but it rubbed me the wrong way. And on top of that, he seems to still be a big fan of Tory Lanez, and I'm sorry. First of all, have you seen Tory Lanez's mugshot? Have you seen the new mugshot?
Oh my God, let me Google it.
His lace front is lifting.
I'm screaming. Y'all couldn't hear me, but I was screaming.
Literally. So Lexus muted herself like right before I said that. And so her face did the scream.
I was like, Tory Lanez mugshot. Oh my God.
The lace is lifting.
Oh my God, the lace is coming up. Oh my God. But we all been knew he had a lace front.
We knew. We have known for so long. We have known. There's so many male celebrities who have lace fronts that we let it happen. We let y'all do your thing. Or they went to Turkey and got the little, you know, Turkish hair do thing done. We let them do their thing, right? I don't judge you. But Tory deserved everything he got. And I said what I said.
Looking like, is this glue? Like, is this specks of glue that's coming up? Oh my God. Yo, he's down bad. But he still got fans, apparently. He still got people who like really rock for him. And it's like, why? Why?
People are like, oh, well, did he really even shoot Megan? I'm like, it's not about shooting Megan. You know that this man is a felon. He's not allowed to have a gun. He had a gun. He literally is not allowed to possess a weapon. Right? And he had a weapon. Right. On his person and admitted to that. Are you guilty. Joking? Let's not even talk about the, you know, discharging of that weapon and who he did or didn't shoot at, according to y'all, because y'all ain't seen the evidence. Right. Let's not even talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that this man was told not to have a gun and has a gun, which is in violation of any legal thing. So people are like, oh, he shouldn't have gotten so long for shooting Meg. It wasn't the fact that he shot Meg. It was the fact that he had a gun in the first place.
Wait, how long did he
get? And discharged that firearm. Yeah. I don't know, like more than 10 plus years, I think.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he got a long time. Actually, I'm going to look up the exact date right now, the exact amount of time. I'm going to tell you right now.
But that just FYI, y'all, doesn't matter if you're a celebrity. If you're a Black man with a gun, when you're not supposed to have a gun, they're still going to put your ass in jail, okay? Doesn't matter if you're a celebrity or not. It's funny, I saw this TikTok when somebody was, like, saying something about, how are you going to, like, report a Black man and put him in jail? And then this girl was like, he knew he was Black when he did it.
I mean, facts.
That is exactly. He knew he was Black when he did it. That is the explanation. That is, you know, I'm just telling y'all, if a Black man is harassing you and you need to call the police, just be like, yo, you a Black man? Like, you know.
Listen.
You know.
Yes, it is 10 years, and then probably he's going to be deported back to Canada after this.
Oh my God, and he's Canadian. Yes, put him back in Canada.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, speaking of other weird Canadians, I don't know. Like, I think we need to do an episode which is an expose on all the weirdness that is Drake. But all I can say it's still odd that Drake chose to take shots at Meg in a song and that he has been documented multiple times messaging underage girls on the internet to be their friends.
I'm so down because, like, I really don't listen to Drake. Like, as y'all know, I've been DJing and I don't play Drake. I'm not a Drake fan. I don't really play Drake. I don't really listen to Drake. And people keep asking, can you play some Drake? I'm like, no. Like, why are y'all listening to Drake? Why are y'all listening to Tory Lanez? Why are y'all listening to Trey Songz? Like, I just, these people.
In 2023?
Why are y'all listening to Chris Brown? Like, what's going on, people? Like, did we just forget? That men are terrible?
Oh no, but remember, it's in the past. We can't judge them by their past. And I'm like, Chris Brown this week sent people to attack Tinashe on the internet.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Is it the past if it happened 2 days ago? I'm just checking. Like, how far in the past are we talking about here?
Right? People are like, oh, forgive Chris Brown. That happened so long ago. I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about his whole life. Like, what? I'm talking about what he did to Rihanna, what he did to Karrueche, what he did to, like, literally every damn woman. Like, I'm talking about what he still does, you know?
Like, but let's just talk about that.
People just
want to
dance.
People just want to dance. Listen, Outkast said it first. Andre 3000, Three Stacks is a real nigga. He said that shit.
Exactly. He said, y'all don't want to hear me. Y'all just want to dance. And he was right.
Mm-hmm.
He was right.
Oh, I forgot something. So this is relevant. So I'm going to do the fun stuff. And then I'm going to go talk about Nick Vile, who is, you know, I guess, would he be considered our podcast nemesis? Maybe. Yeah, and then that's going to lend me into some other reality conversation, which I think is really funny. So, in good news, Lace, or Luce, as you might remember her from Bachelor in Paradise season 7, is having a baby.
Yay! Congratulations to her. Is she with somebody?
Yeah, she is with somebody. She's with her boo. They look real cute on the internet, so I'm going to let her do her thing. You know, so shout out to Lace. You deserve it. After all that shit you went through on Paradise all those times. First of all, the Grant fiasco, like from way back. And then you come back and these dudes treat you like that. I didn't like that, Lace. I still support you.
Literally forgets her name on the first.
Like, I still support you, Lace. That was dirty. That was wrong. So that's good news. In like less good news, you know, Mari and Kenny, they're getting closer to their wedding. But there's been some discourse on the internet about how she must be starving herself to have this great body that she has. And remember, you know, Mari is a beauty queen. Mari has been obvious and open about her diet, her training, all that stuff. So she actually had to get on the internet and tell people, like, to stop saying that she is anorexic and starving herself. Because she is somebody who has suffered in the past from disordered eating.
Mm-hmm.
And as a, you know, a fellow disordered eating girl herself, I get that. Like, having all these people all up on you when you're feeling healthier than you ever have and you think you look great. They're like, oh my God, she's so skinny. She must be starving herself. This is nasty. That's how she's getting this amazing body, by just being so harmful and promoting this diet culture to these girls. I have never seen Mari promote a single diet product. Again, that's me. I haven't seen it. All I've seen her do mostly is talking about wedding stuff and Kenny, because for some reason she led that man, and cooking.
She cooks
her food.
No, for some reason they are going strong. I was not expecting that, but they really like each other, love each other. I mean, they're getting married, so they have to love each other, right? But yeah, it must be so insulting to have to like go through that and like overcome a disorder and then have people accuse you of it. It's like, bro, like, I can feel the frustration for her. It's like, bro, what? Like, y'all wasn't even there, you know? So, I get it.
Yeah, I get that. And we support Mari here because, you know, she ain't done nothing wrong.
No.
She ain't done nothing wrong. Yeah. Especially after how she treated Demi on that season of Paradise, and Demi deserved it. I said it. She did. Yeah. So this brings me to my other favorite podcast Bachelor host, Nick Vile. I mean, Vial. You know who I mean. So, you know, Joe and Serena. So we talked about Dylan and Hannah getting their wedding officially. Joe and Serena have been married for a while, but they officially had their ceremony in Charleston a couple weeks ago. And they were married by Wells, which I didn't know. Well, Wells is not ordained as far as I know, but it's just like, you know, married by Wells.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe and so
Nick. Nick and his child bride were there. I mean, Natalie, his pregnant fiance. And he complained on his podcast that there were too many age gap jokes about Joe and Serena, because, you know, they're 11 years apart in age. And there are too many age gap jokes, and he didn't appreciate that. And he doesn't want that to happen at his and Natalie's wedding. And I was like, you're right. This won't happen at your wedding. There won't be as many age gap jokes because you are literally old enough to be her father.
How old is she again? Like, what's their gap?
I will say this, and I want to put this into context for you. You remember Jesse, Bachelor number 5, now the host of, you know, the Bachelor franchise.
Yeah.
He and Nick Vial are close in age.
Really?
So Nick is 42.
Holy,
I just want to say that Nick is 42 and Jesse Palmer, I'm going to pull up the little age here so you can see it, is 44 years old.
Oh, wow.
Jesse Palmer, whose wife is also pregnant, you know, by the way, she's in her late 30s. So age appropriate, right? So I'm going to type this all out here because I don't want to make the ages wrong, right? I want to make sure I have the ages correct. Right. So Natalie Joy, who is Nick Viall's fiance, is 18 years younger than he is.
What the
Literally
fuck?
Literally a full 18.
He was 18 when she was born? He was Correct. An adult?
Correct. Correct.
Holy. No wonder he was uncomfortable at the age gap jokes.
Yeah, because you're literally old enough to be her dad.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
More than old enough. Yeah.
Damn. So, yeah, I just wanted to, like I said, ooh, and she's having his baby. Like I said, I just wanted to make sure I got all, y'all could hear me clicky clacking in the background.
She's 24 and pregnant. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oof.
She hasn't even had her Saturn return yet, baby.
Jeez. Do you remember? I remember when I was like 16 and I was like, yeah, I'm going to have a baby in my mid-20s. Now I'm 30, in my 30s. I'm like, thank God.
I had had a baby in my mid-20s, I don't know what I'd be doing right now. I really don't.
I think I would just be living with my mom, annoyed as fuck. Because I would need the help working a job I hate, you know, all those things. No, girl hasn't even got a chance to live yet. I'm sorry, girl.
Listen, she did what she wanted. She loves that man and she wants to be with him and she supports him. And you know what? Sure, babe. Exactly. So the reason why I brought this up is because you remember you and I briefly talked about that whole thing with Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump Rules and that whole Vanderpump Gate situation.
Kind of.
Cheating on. Right. Yeah. So, Special Forces, which is, you know, this Fox TV show, whatever, that Hannah Brown won, I believe, her season of Special Forces, where they go through all this training and stuff to win, whatever. Tom is on this season of Special Forces. And so all the promos for this season have been about him talking about being the most hated man in America. So Sandoval is getting all this. I guess it's his big PR push. But you know who else is his castmate on this show? Mm-hmm. Nick Viall.
Oh my God, really?
Yes. Wow. Nick Viall is on this same show. Okay. On this show with Tom Sandoval and JoJo Siwa and a couple other people. So,
JoJo Siwa's on there too.
Tara Reid as well, the actress. And so it's an interesting cast mix, right? But the majority of the promos have been about Tom Sandoval, like very focused on him. Like, and I'm like, is this his big redemption arc that he's trying to do?
Probably.
It's failing, but like, because we all want to watch him get beat up.
I don't think, and that maybe it's not a redemption arc, but I remember watching Vanderpump Rules, and he struck me as the type of person, not just him, but a lot of them, struck me as the type of people who are like famous, like just want to be famous at all, like at any cost, you know, at all means. So for him, I feel like, yeah, more, I feel like it's probably just, he just wants the attention. He's like, yeah, y'all hate me. Come watch this. Give me attention.
Yeah. And I mean, we also know they were doing so much cocaine on that show. Like, this is documented. Like, it's even in some shots on the show. Like, some of the older shots, you can actually just see the cocaine laid out in the background.
Oh, yes. My God. I remember my friend telling me, like, they used to talk about pasta a lot on the show.
Yeah.
And so that was the code name.
If there's something they talk about a lot, one particular thing, it's cocaine. It's the short form for cocaine.
Yeah. And there was this, I remember there's this one famous clip where this guy was like, what about the pasta? Or something. Something was like, something about the pasta. And I was like, wow, he's so obsessed with pasta.
I mean.
No, it was not pasta.
I mean, he is. It's just pasta is not what you thought. That's all.
Exactly.
That's all.
Exactly.
Like I said, I have never done drugs. So I've never been like a cocaine girly, anything like that. I have seen it done in front of me. Yeah. So. And I got like really close to the person to try to see like what it was like. Not for me to try it, but because I'm just nosy. I'm like, what does it look like?
What's going on? Yeah.
What is it like? Does it have a smell? Like, you're starting it up your nose. Does it have like a smell? Does it burn? Like, I asked a lot of questions because I was just curious. I needed to know. And nothing that this person told me about cocaine as a cokehead made me want to try it. So
exactly. It's like, why y'all do it? Everything they say is like, like, why do you do this? Like, that doesn't sound fun. Like,
because here's the thing. I don't like being uncomfortable, right? I don't like throwing up. I don't like if something flies up in my nose that shouldn't be. Like, sometimes a booger sits wrong in my nose and I'm upset. I don't like that, right? But the idea of snorting up a line of cocaine, which is like a foreign substance, which will burn my nose hole out. Have you seen those shows with the plastic surgery where the noses have like collapsed in themselves because they snorted so much drugs? Do you know that I'm pretty? I can't afford to have that happen to me.
I have never seen that. Your nose can collapse?
Yes, 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 it can. Oh my God. It can.
I didn't know that. I like my nose.
Right? I'm a pretty girl. I can't afford that. No, like, so for really? Some people, when you see them do like a lot of nose jobs, that's part of the reason why. Because of structural integrity issues. Yes. With their nose.
Yes, that makes sense. That makes sense. Wow, I did not know that. I'm learning so much. And I'm living
from someone who doesn't even do drugs.
Right, exactly. And I'm living in like the city, you know, for it. So I did not know. So yeah, obviously like I see it happen around me, but like for me, when I see people on it, I'm like, that doesn't even look fun. That doesn't look enjoyable. You're just being an ass. Like, you're just making an ass of yourself. Like, I'm fine chilling in the corner with my weed, like, my little plant medicine. With my little plant medicine or whatever. Like, I'm totally okay.
I will say, look at how Jax turned out on Vanderpump, okay? Me telling you he's on cocaine makes everything make so much more sense, right?
Oh my God, for sure, for sure. Because what the fuck was up with that man? Half the cast, most of the cast, honestly. You know what I think about all the time, though? I think about that girl. I don't remember her name, but she was dating this woman's husband who was rich and had a private jet.
Yes.
I think about her often because she was like, who hasn't been on a private jet? All you need is a good pair of boobs. And ever since then, I'm like, I need to go to LA because I got a good pair of boobs.
I got great tits. Who's going to get me on a jet?
Exactly. Who's going to put me on a private jet? You know, she's inspiring me right now.
Listen, that's thinking about my future. I'm manifesting us having great boobs being on a private jet.
Exactly.
It's happening.
Exactly.
It's going to happen. But it's okay. I'm going to pop back to good news. So the high of cocaine is nothing compared to the hard launches that have been happening on Instagram. So a lot of our bachelor peeps are hard launching their relationships for the past couple of weeks. So I've watched Rodney announce his girlfriend. It's a woman of color, y'all. It's Rodney? A woman of color.
What? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Rodney has a girlfriend? Oh my God.
Rodney has a girlfriend. Oh, and so she's not white.
Yes. And she's not white. One for us.
Yes, Rodney's girlfriend, she's not white. Maria from Bachelor in Paradise Canada. She was on both seasons of Bachelor in Paradise Canada. So I've known this for a while because I look at the internet. Like, I look at their stories. She's been posting this man for a while, from while the show was even airing. But the point is that she's got a man and they're happy. Happy for her. So does Anna, who was also on Bachelor in Paradise Canada both seasons. She got a man. She happy living her life. Romeo also has a girlfriend. But she is white.
Romeo has a girlfriend?
Romeo has a girlfriend. She spent the summer with him in Europe. Met his family, all that jazz. Because, you know, Romeo is part French. So, doing that. Marlena, who is also from, I think Marlena's from Colton season. The girl with the dreads. Well, Sister Locks.
I think so. The name sounds familiar. I think she was also on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But yeah, she also has a boyfriend who is white. So she seems really happy with her man. And everybody, Onyeka from before has a man who's also white. Like I've seen a lot more interracial dynamics popping up for people who are hard launching partners. Not in a bad way. Just I notice that you were on shows to date black people and then somehow your partner ends up being white is interesting to me all the time.
Honestly though, like it's people like Romeo, not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, they're him and Elizabeth and that whole thing with, you know, Kira and all that stuff from Paradise. I mean, we know. By the way, Bachelor in Paradise season 7, least successful season ever. None of the couples from that show are still together because Danielle and Michael officially announced their breakup as well.
Danielle and Michael, remind me. Oh my God, they broke up?
Mm-hmm. They've been broken up for a minute, but it's been a fit. Wow. Yeah, she moved to Ohio. Yeah, she did. She still lives there.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So she still lives in Ohio. They live in the same place. And they broke up. Wasn't that season Brandon and Serena as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's season 7. No, Brandon and Serena have been broken up. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? They broke up? Maybe, I don't know, I forgot. Maybe you told me and I forgot. I think probably you did tell me and I forgot.
Yeah. Wow. Everybody from season 7 of Bachelor in Paradise is broken up. So wow. Season 6 is the most successful season. That's Mari and Kenny. That's Noah and Abigail who are engaged. That's, you know, Becca and Thomas. All those people are still together. Piper, yes. And we don't really count Piper and Brendan, but they're also still together. Like
they're still together? I thought they broke up.
As far as I know, they're still together, but...
Or did they break up and get back together?
They probably broke up, like, right after that whole thing. But they were living together, I think, in Boston. Something like that. But yeah, as far as I know, they're still together. If they broke up, someone can let me know. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard launch season. A lot of relationships are popping up. And Dr. Joe, even Dr. Joe has a girlfriend. I saw her in his stories. Dr. Joe is a girlfriend. Oh, and I questioned hard launch. I didn't get a response. So allegedly, he has a girlfriend based on what I have observed. He did not respond to my comment, my request for comment. So, Of course I asked. Everybody popping up with a goddamn girlfriend, I gotta ask questions. I want to know. So far, it looks as if the people need to know. Okay? And something else is tickled across my mind. So the guys, Nate, Rodney, Justin, and I can't remember who else, they went to Curacao. So the Netherlands Antilles a couple weeks ago. Okay. And they're posting about it. But there's a clip. There's a thing that's happening, right? Oh, right. Andrew S. also has a girlfriend. Andrew S. has a girlfriend, too.
Andrew S. has a girlfriend?
Yeah. She's bit younger. Yeah. or like a light-skinned person of color.
Super light-skinned. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And he also has a girlfriend. Don't worry. He and Greg are still going strong, y'all. His relationship with Greg is still intact. Andrew and Greg still go together. And Greg and Victoria Fuller are still together as well.
Greg as in Katie's Greg?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
All the bromances are still intact.
Yes. So what about James and Aaron? Are they still friends?
As far as I know, the boys have not broken up, but I have not been investigating because you know how I feel about Aaron. You know how I feel about that man.
Yeah.
So I haven't looked into it, but they might still be together.
They probably are.
I say all this to say, right? Like I was looking in someone's IG stories and there is a photo of all of them on this yacht, you know, like Rodney and all those guys. And there is a girl sitting pretty close to Nate. And my question is there another hard launch coming in our future?
Was she white?
You can see my face.
I guess I didn't have to ask.
You can see my face.
Yeah, like
so actually, I was super surprised that Rodney's girlfriend was not white. I will admit that. I was super surprised that she was not white. She looks great. She seems great. They seem happy together. And I think that the guys also forget that people stalk their social medias. So like, and I say this because not as a stalker, but just as somebody who sees a lot of comments that pass through, like in the actual comments of posts and stuff, where they'd be like, oh, when are you going to tell us about your girlfriend? Like those kind of comments will pop up like in these things, like on the Reddits and places like that. Because we can see that you are the only person following this one person. We can see that there's nobody else from Bachelor Nation following this person. And we have, if this person and I have no mutuals in common aside from you, you're fucking. Like, I'm not stupid. You're fucking.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious. Well, at the very least dating. Mm-hmm. At the very least.
Yeah. But if you're dating, like, would you be publicly following someone on Instagram like that? Yeah, knowing that people look through your, knowing that people look through your followers. But
well,
also, like,
do they know people look through their phone?
They know.
I think they do.
They know. Like, I said, I don't look through followers. Like, but if I see someone tagged in a photo, I'm like, oh, is this person like on the show? And I look at their profile, like, oh, they were or they weren't on the show. This is how I figured out that unrelated to the Bachelor franchise, but another celebrity that I really enjoy, Oak. That's how I figured out Oaks had a girlfriend and that she was white. Because he posted something and I was like, somebody else took this photo. Oak is from Hamilton, from Station 19. He played Hercules Mulligan in Hamilton. So I follow Oak on Instagram. And I saw that there was like a text like in white or something like on a white background. I'm like, that's weird. Like it was the way it was done was like really weird. So I clicked it. I was like, oh, it's someone's username. And it was the girl. And
oh,
like, and I was like, oh, so you got a girlfriend. But like I said, I don't even know how I saw this. I just noticed that it was different right there. So I thought it was like maybe like tagging like a hotel or like a location or something. And I was like, oh, is the restaurant? I want to go here. Like, I can't afford it, but I'd want to go. Right. No, it was the girl's IG tag that he attacked. And so people do stuff like that all the time where they think that we don't notice, but we do. I spend a lot of time looking at Oak's abs on my IG stories. I'm not going to lie. I do. If there's something odd about the ab, I'm going to notice. I'm going to notice it.
So there was a tag for her, but it was on his abs.
It was like white. It was like perfect, like see-through, transparent, whatever it was. It was mm-hmm. like right. It wasn't on his abs, but I mean, like it was near the abs. That's how I noticed it. Oh, okay, gotcha. But like, you see what I'm saying? Like, because I see your stories a lot, that's something that I would notice that something's kind of off about the story.
Yeah.
So that's
maybe
that.
He deliberately tagged her to be like, "Yo, this belongs to her."
He announced it like I think like the next day, so it was like probably like a soft into a hard launch, like a medium launch, so to speak.
Medium launch, right.
But gotcha. I'm just saying, I see y'all. I support all your love. For those of you who are not dating anybody right now, but are actively looking, let me know because I might know some girls for you. I might be able to hook you up.
Same. And if y'all are coming to Colombia, I know like some great eligible men and women so who are looking to date. So hit us up. We can be the matchmakers.
Honestly,
that's my dream for a reality TV show. Like we should get a show and just be matchmakers.
I think it'd be super fun. I think we both have a great track record of like hooking people up too. Like just like in our real lives. Okay, well I do. I do. Maybe I shouldn't have lumped us together so fast.
I know. My track record. I'll be like, what about so and so? People look at me like, but in my head I'm always right.
Here's the thing. I'm usually right, but I mean the issue with matching people together comes with like it's not just about the looks, it's about personality. So even if their personalities match, their look profiles might not go together and things like that. And especially if it's someone that they haven't had the chance to get to know. Because, you know, a woman will date an ugly man. They will. They just have to know him first. And right. When you're trying to hook a friend up, you can't leave with the fact that he's ugly. You gotta like get him talking first. Like, oh my God, he has such a good heart. He's so sweet. He's right? so kind. And she's like, this man is hideous, isn't he? I'm like, he's not a troll. He's not a troll.
For me, I'll just invite them both out and just see if they gel. And I'm like, I wouldn't even say anything. I wouldn't even say like, oh, like you two would be good. I'm just like, hey, have you met so and so? Oh my God, you should meet. Oh my God, we should hang out.
Yeah. In the olden days, it was easier. We just did it in chat rooms. And like, you know, we all had that MSN messenger group chat thing. And then you just kind of left them by themselves. Like, oh, I have to go. Good night.
You added the person and then say, hey, you should meet my friend. Okay, I have to go. My mom's calling me. Bye.
She needs to use the phone. Bye.
My mom needs to use the phone. Really how it was. And then put your status to offline, but you're really online.
And you're watching. Exactly. Ah, yes. Let's see. Retro. Throwback. But yeah, let's see. What else do we have to talk about? Oh, yeah. So, Love is Blind Season 5 premieres.
Love is Blind.
So, today, we're recording this on Thursday. I'm going to have it out on Friday. So, Love is Blind Season 5 premieres today. Yay. It is set in Houston, I believe. And so, the first four episodes drop today on the Netflix. I'm going to try to watch it. There's a hint of possibly there being black love this season again. Ooh, so,
yes, Houston, I'm going to peek.
I'm going to see, and I will give y'all my feedback the next time we come back to y'all. So the cadence right now is first four episodes on the 22nd, episodes 5, 6, and 7 on September 29th, then episodes 8 and 9 on October 6th, and then Friday the 13th is going to be the weddings. I can't tell if that's ominous or not, but...
I guess we'll see. I hope there's some love on this season. Either way, I think I'm excited to just see like what dating's like in Houston in general. So ready for love. was set in Houston, had I think 2 seasons in Houston. So I would be interested to see like the difference between Ready to Love and Love is Blind, the type
of in the same city cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the, you know, the you know what the dating's like, yeah, in the same city. So yeah, stay tuned, people, for the comparison.
They released the cast, and of course I shared some of them on the stories and kind of like followed the people of color where I could tell for sure they're people of color. Of course, mm-hmm. There are some people that you'll find out like when you watch a show, like, oh, you actually black, okay, I can follow you now,
like Thomas.
Yeah, like, listen, but I was always a Thomas supporter, not gonna lie, you can, it's true, like, right? I was always rocking for Thomas.
He was of color, we just thought it was the wrong color.
We just thought he was the wrong color, right? But he black. But yeah, so that's happening. And so I finally watched Love is Blind season 4 after The Altar. There's only, I think, 3 episodes. It wasn't that many. So it was pretty quick to catch up on. And the most important things to note from this, Chelsea and Kwame proving the haters wrong.
I'm so surprised. I haven't watched it, by the way, y'all. If y'all haven't watched Love is Blind after The Altar, I haven't either. I might go and just put it on, like, after this. But I'm really surprised about Chelsea and Kwame. I thought they would have broken up immediately. I'm not even going to lie.
Listen, proving the haters wrong, and it's us. We were the haters, apparently.
Yes, and, we were.
And they go together real bad. And so they also live 7 minutes away from Zach and Bliss. Apparently, they live very close together. And so they do a lot of stuff together. So they celebrate anniversaries together and things like that.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so
they all have the same anniversary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's this one point I see here. I made a note of this because I made notes that Lex could also follow along with my long rambling rants, is that when they take vacations together, they get one room with 2 queen beds because of how close they are. And so my note here is, are they swingers? That's my note. That's my note here. Are they swingers?
Yes. Next question. Because what couple is vacationing with another couple in the same room? Like vacation? Like if it's like a business thing, or if it's like, okay, we got to go here real quick to do this thing. Like, let's save money and get a hotel room. I get it. Vacation?
I can't say if it was like they showed a picture of both Zach and Kwame asleep in bed on 2 separate beds, but like they sleep the same way, so that they all have that one arm hanging out, and it looks like they're reaching for each other in their sleep. And
oh my god,
I don't know. Also, I have to say that Zach and Bliss stay weird. So they stay weird. Bliss is also, it's not talked about on After the Altar, but I saw on her pod, like, starting a podcast or some kind of lifestyle brand. I don't know what she's doing. Mm-hmm. But it explains why they're always constantly getting professional photos taken. They're always on the fucking internet, Zach and Bliss. Chelsea and Kwame are a lot more low-key on their social media presence, but Zach and Bliss are everywhere all the time. And I guess it's to prep for this influencer thing. Also, there's something weird they did at the beginning of the show where they made it seem as if like Zach and Bliss were going to the doctor to talk about getting pregnant. But really, it was just because Zach is allergic to their cat and their dog and needed allergy shots.
Oh.
So the dog and cat could live with them again. Because they've been living with Bliss's parents.
Oh, okay. So he's allergic to all animals.
Yeah. I mean, are you surprised?
No, not really.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised they did like a little like bait and switch thing like that. It's totally Zach and Bliss.
Yep. So that's happening.
It's totally them.
Brett and Tiffany, you know, living in Portland, so they don't see them as often. But, you know, apparently, I think they're the gold standard right now for what we're looking at. So it's Lauren and Cameron up here, of course. And then, you know, Brett and Tiffany, like, further, like, several steps down.
A little further down. Because they're new.
They're new.
You know? They're new. As as they're together more, they might go up more. But we'll see.
Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't seen any problems with them that I've seen online, nothing like that. They seem fine. It's not like when we found out that Alexis's husband from the last season, like, beat woman, like, a domestic abuser. It's not like that. Like, I haven't heard anything about Brett and Tiffany in that way. But there is a talk there about how difficult it was for her to move to Portland. Because, you know, she works remotely, but Brett's job is very much, like, based in Portland for... Because he worked for Nike or something, right? So
right, he's a creative director. That makes sense.
Yeah, so yes, he has to be there. And so she had to move there. And so I imagine it's like a difficult transition. Like, you know, in that first year of marriage to move to a new place and, you know, not have your usual comfort and support system. And Chelsea also acknowledges that she seemed pretty flippant about what Kwame would have to do by doing the same thing. Because, you know, Kwame lived in Portland and had to move to Seattle to be with her because she wasn't going to move. And she says that she also realizes the sacrifices that he had to make that relationship happen for them. So, again, they seem good. Everything seems to be happy there. Micah and Paul are still talking, but they're not dating.
They're not
together.
Oh, but they're still talking, right?
They were still like texting and like being friends or whatever. She's still close with his mom. She like has drinks with his mom on the show, and like,
that doesn't surprise me. She and his mom are like peas in a pod.
Yes.
So she, and, same person.
Yeah. So she's still close with his mom, and apparently Paul has a new girlfriend. So Micah was kind of like, there's some mixed signals happening here. Like, why are you still texting me your ex-fiance when you got a girlfriend? There's that. They play flag football, which, you know, sure, whatever, no one cares. Irina and Micah seem to be friends again because, you know, Irina meets up with Micah and one of her friends, you know, because she's still friends with that awful girl Shelby. I don't know Shelby as a person, but, you know, just she's still friends with that Shelby person. So I think Irina meets up with them, and it seems as if the bad blood is gone. And I guess the big thing, you know, Marshall has a girlfriend, which we talked about when it just happened, you know, and he seems fine and happy. He's content. He's living his best life. So the big thing, the big event is, I think it's Chelsea's birthday or something, why they're all meeting up. It's like, it's their 1 year anniversary of the weddings and also Chelsea's birthday. So at this thing, we find out that, you know, Josh and Jackie have moved in together, which we kind of knew before. There's like a quick segment with them in the beginning where they're riding the Great Wheel in Seattle, and she's asking him to be romantic, and he throws a grape in her face.
Oh my god, Jen! Oh my god. You sent me this reel with, you saw my face?
Yeah.
If you saw my face, I was like, what the fuck? Like, who? Why would you give up Marshall for this asshole? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Listen, Jackie and Josh had just moved in together basically when this was filmed. So this was filmed back in, I think, April or May, just to clarify the timeline here for where we're at right now. So you see them, you know, they do the flag football game thing, fine. Jackie is very defensive of Josh, like, oh, I love him, his little broccoli ears, blah, blah, blah. That's my man. I'm going to stand by my man no matter what, kind of thing, right? So at the big event, you know, the dinner event, whatever it is supposed to be that they're doing, Jackie and Josh come together and, you know, Marshall is there and all that jazz. So Marshall and Jackie have a conversation and they apologize to each other. You know, Marshall being like, I'm sorry that I pushed you, you know, into this thing. If you weren't sure, you weren't ready, blah, blah, blah. Jackie apologizing for how she treated him, basically. And they're still maintaining the party line that she didn't cheat, but you and I both know that's a lie, so we're just going to let that rock. And Marshall Marshall doesn't care anymore, so we're just going to let that rock too. It's fine. So then we find out that Josh actually got engaged in the pods as well. So after Jackie chose Marshall, Josh got engaged to this woman named Monica.
So I had heard...
It wasn't public. I think Monica had done a post about it, like, a while afterwards. But yeah, Monica didn't even say it was Josh she got engaged to. She didn't call him out by name. But if you,
she did not want to be associated with that man.
But yeah, so Monica and Josh got engaged. And the engagement broke up pretty quickly thereafter. Like, they didn't go on the trip or anything like that. It just broke it off, right? And so Monica and Jackie were supposedly besties in the pod. Right? Besties. And so
Monica and Jackie...
So they stayed close after the pods and everything. Even when Jackie got with Josh, Monica and Jackie still stayed close. So when Monica came out and said, okay, I'm going to actually, you know, tell people that I got engaged on the pods as well, Jackie was like, that's fine. No problem. And she talked to Jackie and Josh about it, and they said they were fine with it. But obviously it paints Josh in a terrible light because of everything that happened and everything that he said and did. So he took offense to that. So he's been like, fuck Monica. We don't talk to Monica. And Jackie said, okay, I'm not going to talk to Monica.
Of course.
So we're not talking to Monica, right? So Monica's invited to this event. Because, you know, Keisha's there. A lot of people, almost everybody's there, right? Monica's coming to this event. Josh is like, well, we have to leave. We're not going to talk to her. We're going to go. She comes, she says hi to everybody. She pulls Jackie to the side. She's like, you and I are friends. Like, you and I need to talk about this. Like, mm-hmm. you've been acting weird with me. What's going on? And Jackie's mm-hmm. like, oh, well, you know, the tabloids and all this stuff. And Monica's like, I can show you the messages. I did not contact any tabloids about this. So any mm-hmm. tabloids that came down on Josh or anything has nothing to do with me. I didn't do that. Like, mm-hmm. that right, wasn't me. Right. And so Monica and Jackie are working it out. And then Monica's like, well, we have to have Josh in this conversation because he is the clear problem point in this whole thing.
Right.
So
right.
Josh basically calls Monica a liar and says she's like a horrible person, like whatever. He doesn't use those words, but basically he calling her a liar and saying that she is a fame hungry bitch. And
pointing a finger at her, and the three of them are pointing back at him.
Correct. Correct. And so Jackie is stressed out by the arguing because Monica is like, girl, I don't know how the fuck you stay with this man. He is fucking terrible. He is a terrible human being. And the fact that you're staying with him and you're letting him behave like this, ridiculous. As your friend, this is fucking ridiculous. So Jackie storms out and she's crying. And then Josh goes after her like, oh, yeah, you know, like, let's leave. Do you want to go? She's like, yeah, I don't want the drama. Like, you know, I've been trying to stay out of drama, blah, blah, blah. Let's leave. So they end up leaving. But before they leave, Josh is like, oh, let me go take my mic off. Because Jackie's outside with her mic off. So the only mic that's on mm-hmm. is Josh's mic. He goes back mm-hmm. inside and starts grumbling to Chelsea about how Monica is stirring up shit and blah, 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 blah. And Marshall's standing right there. And he makes like a comment like in Marshall's direction, and Marshall just turns his head like, why the fuck is this man talking to me? Marshall is the epitome of minding his blank face, minding right, his business.
Exactly.
Like nothing
exactly.
is happening. This man's not I talking to it. Me, clearly, so I'm gonna leave it alone.
I love it.
So all this stuff, like literally, Monica is like, I'm your friend. I got engaged to that nigga, but he's terrible. Like he's a terrible man, the terrible partner. And the reason why Josh is mad at Monica, just to let you know, just to let you know, it's not just the blogs. It's because Monica's friends talk shit about him in the comments of her post, and she didn't delete them.
Oh, and so he's mad that people had this impression of him of being a douchebag.
Because it was true.
Instead of, you know, actually not being a douchebag. Got it.
So that's why he's mad at Monica, because yeah. her friends talk shit about him in the comments, and she didn't delete the
right.
comments.
And she didn't delete the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know what? Yeah, but who gives a fuck what he feels, honestly?
Correct.
Because he can feel everything. I'm like, cool. All right, let's go.
Like, I'm done.
Because, no, but like that, I think it was a TikTok you sent me. Y'all, Jen sent me this TikTok. If y'all don't know what it is, y'all should go look for it. It's of Jackie and, what's his face? Josh in that, what you call it? The wheel? The Seattle wheel, whatever. But this guy is literally doing everything he can to show Jackie she is not important and he doesn't give a fuck. Like he throws stuff in her face and then he's like, oh, I'm just trying to teach you a lesson. And it's just like this, the straight up manipulative, toxic shit that you expect from your toxic ex-boyfriend. And that's what's going on with Jackie and Josh. And so I'm just like, I'm so over him. He never needed to be on that show. First of all, how did he get on that show? They must have casted him just for entertainment purposes yep. only, because that man is not serious, not ready in the slightest.
He's not.
Thinks he knows everything, doesn't know shit. Dumb as fuck.
Basically, yeah.
Like, what is the appeal?
I don't get it. Maybe it's the broccoli ears that's really drawing people in. And this is not shades to the broccoli ears. I mean, it's a thing. You know, like, whatever. That's your business. But also, like, let's be serious now. Let's be really serious. Josh's behavior that we saw on camera without all the hyper-editing, whatever, was ridiculous. And so
it was.
But part of it is that Jackie bullies him. Like, she bullies him, but he's also very controlling. It seems like an abusive dynamic. Not that she is being abused or that he is being abused, but that it's an abusive dynamic.
Yeah, it's a toxic dynamic. And that's exactly what she was asking Marshall for. She, like, when she was like, oh, you need to, like, you know, throw against the wall, whatever. But she was basically begging him to manipulate her. and to be abusive and to be toxic. And it was like, girl, if you don't get away from this man who just wants a nice, peaceful woman, like, this is not your energy at all, girl. Anyway, I hope she finds what she's looking for. You know, I hope she, you know, everybody's on their own path. And I hope she's on the path of growth, because, girl, this is not it.
Oh, well, she and Josh are broken up. And yes. Josh, you know, made a little statement and posted it on the Instagram stories and then went private immediately. But I followed that man because I wanted the tea, so I'm already on it. I'm in it, bitch. And Jackie posted, like, a video pretty much saying, like, they broke up because of her talking to Monica when he told her not to.
I need controlling men like that to just crawl into the gutter and stay there. You know, just stay there. Stop bothering women. Just stop. You know, stop. If you don't like women, leave us alone. That is the hill I am willing to die on. You know, if you do not like women being people, leave them alone. If you do not like women living their own lives, making their own decisions, leave them alone. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that.
Basically, yeah. So that is Love is Blind in its entirety. That's Bachelor in its entirety right now. Mm-hmm. There are two other things that we have to talk about. One is where Lex is actually going to talk, I swear. Lex is going to talk about her interests.
I've been talking.
I'm going to talk about my current passion. Lex is going to talk about her current passion. Unfortunately, my current passion is not fun for anyone because it's labor activism and watching what's happening with all these unions and these strikes in the country. You know, all these auto workers going on strike, Starbucks unionizing, SkyWest is an airline unionizing.
I didn't know. So, like, more people are unionizing and striking, like, across the country.
Marvel VFX, Marvel, you know, virtual effects video. They're unionized under IATSE now.
They need to. The majority of the movie is visual effects, and they don't get paid anything.
Correct. So they're unionized under IATSE, which, you know, the tech people. I forget what the actual IATSE means right now, because I had it in my head earlier, but of course I'm old, so I've forgotten.
I know you're talking about IATSE.
Yeah, IATSE. Mm-hmm. So they're unionized under IATSE. The production assistants are also attempting to unionize.
And oh my God, as they should.
Everybody also should.
Really. Because there's so much money to be made in entertainment and nobody's getting paid anything.
Yeah. So United Auto Workers, it's the first time the big three auto working companies in the U.S. are on strike at the same time. And so they're doing like a rolling strike action. So not everybody's stopping work at the same time. And part of that, in my opinion, has to do with making sure the strike fund is not fully drained before they're able to come back to the table. So they're doing it like, okay, so this local council of the union, this local council for these different auto companies, you're going to strike on this day. And then these ones are going to strike on this day. And so they're doing like a rolling, work stop. It's not like
work is slowed down, but it hasn't halted.
Correct. Okay. Correct. It's not like fully halted.
People are still getting checks.
Okay. Yeah, people are still getting checks. People are still getting paid, and it means that the strike fund is still able to be robust enough to support people who need the extra support in this time. Starbucks had a day of action last week, the 14th. Alaska Airlines had a day of action because they're in contract negotiations as well. And I say day of action, but really they picketed an event that the CEO did. And I say this with great, great pleasure because I've seen the videos of what happened at this event. So, you know, several flight attendants, several airlines are negotiating their contracts. So United's in negotiation, American Airlines in negotiation, whatever. I'm pretty sure I told y'all last time that American Airlines attendants, which is 26,000 flight attendants, by the way, the largest flight attendant work group in this country, have voted to authorize a strike. And the percentage they voted at to authorize it was 99.47%. So 99.47% of flight attendants who work for American Airlines are willing to strike.
Yes. Be ready. 99%. We're like, yes. 99.47%.
Not even like.
I know.
So just to clarify, this is what's happening, right? So they're willing to strike. Alaska Airlines is in negotiation. They're not striking. They're doing the occasional picketing and leafletting. Leafletting means they're handing out like flyers to people with about what they're looking for, right?
Yeah.
So the CEO of Alaska told the contract negotiations committee that their economic plan was not feasible. Right? That he can't justify raises and stuff like that. It's just not feasible. But you know what he did do? He held a luxury event at the Ritz-Carlton in Marina Del Rey in California for executives and VIP travelers, etc. And so, I don't know if you know this, but being told that they can't afford to give you even a penny more on your paycheck, and then spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars for a one-time event for a couple of hours, it rubbed some people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So those flight attendants went out there in uniform, and they picketed the event. And the hedges are low enough that they could literally look directly over into the garden where this event was taking place. Mm-hmm. Oh, and they were amazing. Chanting. They were rallying people mm-hmm. around them for this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, mm-hmm. it serves you all fucking right. Like, this, the auto workers, let me just put it to you this way. One of those auto companies, the CEO for that company, makes 365 times more than what the average worker makes. Mm. 365% exactly. more than what your average worker who works for that same company makes.
Right. Wait, let's see. If your average salary is like 50, let's say your average salary is like 50K, 300% of that is like $15 million? Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, we can't afford.
Yes.
Why you need $50 million a year?
Yes. Yes. So this is what we're talking about when we talk about labor activism being a huge thing, right? So when you look at what Bob Iger and Disney and those executives from the AMPTP make and what the writers are asking for, which is like literally worse than I think like 2%, maybe, and 2% mm-hmm. is me being generous, of mm-hmm. what their
total, living wage.
What their annual compensation is. It'd be maybe 2%. That's it. Exactly. If he donated 2% of his salary to this every year, he wouldn't even notice it was missing. Number one. And number two, people, they'd be fine. They could have health insurance. They could do all this stuff. But because they're greedy bastards, they don't want to do that. Right? So again.
Exactly.
I'm just talking about union drama. And the reason why I brought this up is because, you know, Charity is on Dancing with the Stars this season. But what most people don't know is that Dancing with the Stars is a WGA show. Because they have a Writers Guild of America writer who works on that show. So as a result, it is a struck production. So that means that even though SAG-AFTRA, you know, the actors union, has allowed this to happen because it's about acting, whatever, the Writers Guild is still picketing this show. And so as a result of that, they've been picketing all the rehearsals for Dancing with the Stars, which is supposed to premiere next week, week after, something like that. I think it's supposed to be around the 29th, which would be next Saturday. And yeah, today, the 21st of September, they've just had their first dropout from the contestants. So Matt Walsh, who is a WGA and a SAG-AFTRA member, says he's going to pause his involvement with the show because he's not coming back to it until the AMPTP reaches a deal with WGA, as he should. And it's interesting because I get the impression that a lot of the actors and people who are in entertainment who were on the show were kind of led to believe that it wasn't a WGA show, that it was approved by SAG-AFTRA, by the actors, and so it's fine, without disclosing that they do have a full-time gilded writer on staff. So, yeah.
And Tiendo.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. So are they still going through with the show?
There's talk about the premiere being delayed. I don't know if it means that, I don't know how far delayed or anything like that, because the AMPTP and WGA have been in negotiations yesterday and today. I don't know. We're going to have to see how this shakes out. But I say all this to say, while I think it's great that Charity's on Dancing with the Stars and we've had like a steady, you know, consistent amount of representation being on that show from the Bachelorverse, it looks really fucking bad to be crossing a picket line in this way if you continue to stay on the show. Especially for the actors like Allison Hannigan, who, you know, may know from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and How I Met Your Mother fame, and other actors and people who are in entertainment still being affiliated with the show, it looks fucked up. And
it kind of does look fucked up. And then won't they get blacklisted too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I mean, like I said, probably not with the actors union, it's allowed because it's a reality show program, but it is still crossing a picket line for the writers. And is that kind of person you want to be?
And in that, in especially like in LA where all these things are done and filmed, like I don't think it's a town where you want to cross the line with people who are like, you know, working on shit mm-hmm. that you want to be a part of. So
yeah
Yeah.
Looking at what happened with Drew Barrymore's show, Jennifer Hudson's show on the talk, because Drew Barrymore said she was coming back, but she's a WGA show as well. And she'd resumed production and they were like, fuck you, Drew. This is fucking terrible. Let's put it this way. Right. So she's finally back down. So the talk is also back down and so has Jennifer Hudson's show because they were all looking to resume production. But Drew Barrymore fucked this up so badly that now people are investigating her family's ties to the British East India Company. Because that's how her family got their wealth, by being involved with the British East India Company. For those of you who are not history buffs or from the Caribbean like us, we know that means slavery.
Exactly. East India Company, you mean shipping people. You mean stealing people and shipping them. That's really what you
mean. We mean slavery.
So, yeah, pretty much.
We mean the colonization of Hawaii. There are so many things we mean when we say the British East India Company. And you can do your own research on that. But it's... She was doing so good. People loved Drew Barrymore. Even last month. Then she did this. And, well, you know who is a gold standard? Kelly Clarkson. Never once crossed the picket line. Never once said she was going to come back. She's like, I'm just chilling. I'm just waiting for the strike to be over. I'm good. Shout out to Miss Kelly.
But exactly. And for me, it's like, what's the rush? Especially somebody like Drew Barrymore. You can literally sit in your mansion and chill. Like, you don't have to, like, make people work for you. Like, you know, like, why are you making people go back to work and crossing the picket line? That doesn't make sense. Like, you can sit in your house and chill, Drew Barrymore. You can do that. A lot of people wish they could do that. Correct. And you get the chance to do that, girl. I wish I could just do that.
Correct.
You don't want to sit in your house and chill. Give it to me.
Give it to us.
Give it to... Exactly. You know, if you don't want all the money and all of that, just give it to us, girl. If you want to go work, Walmart's hiring, girl.
Walmart is... you know, it's about to be the holidays. Every store is about to be hiring.
Every store is hiring. You want to go work, there's work out there. You know, you want to switch lives, we can do it.
Speaking of... We can do have it. You seen the Jimmy Fallon expose? With his drunken antics on set.
But that makes sense.
I think you need to read that. You just need to read about this whole Jimmy Fallon thing. I think it's... I'm not going to talk about it because it's not union related, but this is another thing of mine that's been stuck in my head for the past couple of weeks. Anyway, I'm done. I'm done with my part.
Okay, I will look up Jimmy Fallon. And to make mine quick, because I got to go pee, y'all. But I've been watching... What have I been watching? I've been watching Sim Streams. And I've been watching Grand Theft Auto streams, District 10. If y'all know what I'm talking about, then y'all know what I'm talking about. That shit is like crack. I'm not even gonna lie, that shit is like crack. So lately I've been watching this girl play The Sims. And she has one main character. His name is Idris Elba. Okay? Idris Elba. It's not like the other guy you're thinking of. It's Idris Elba. And she just plays like this life of Idris Elba, and it's so hilarious. Like, the shit that happens, it's hilarious, it's funny, it's cute. He just got married to his second wife and had twins. But yeah, these are the things that I be really watching, y'all. And then, you know, TikTok. I'm just on TikTok. What else I've watched? I think I watched something recently. Like, maybe I watched a movie, but I can't remember what's come out recently. I watched Barbie. That sucked. I'm sorry, y'all. y'all are probably gonna come for me, but Barbie fucking sucked.
Barbie is about white feminism, isn't it? I haven't seen it yet, but it's about white feminism, isn't it?
I don't know if I would necessarily say it's about white feminism, but to me it just was like a long ad for Barbie. It was like this long ad of like Barbie's history and what Barbie used to be and what Barbie can be now. Better go and buy Barbie now. And it was like, oh, come on. I really sat here and watched an ad for an hour and a half. That's really how it felt by the end of Barbie. It was like, I sat here and I watched an ad for Mattel and Barbie, and I have zero interest. Like, I'm not the biggest Barbie girl, but I enjoyed Barbies when I was younger. I just think it could have been so much better. It could have said so much. It could have been so much better. But it was kind of just like tipping the line. Maybe that's what white feminism is. It was kind of just like tipping the line and also centering men, which I guess white feminism is a a lot about that.
Yeah.
Like leaning on men, centering men. To me, it felt like a big apology to men over feminism. Or it was kind of like, hey, men, like, you can still be men and let women be in charge, but we'll still consider your feelings. But we'll still, like, hold you. But we'll still, like, center you. But we'll just be over here doing our own thing. Like, that's what it felt like. And it was kind of like, who gives a fuck about these men? Kick them out. Kick them out. Who gives a fuck?
Not kick them out. You're like, I'm sick of men. Screw these guys.
Screw them. Exactly. For me, like, imagine you're in a made-up imaginary world. Mm-hmm. And there are these men acting the fuck out. What are you going to do? Just be like, oh, well, we'll consider your feelings. No, I'm going to kick them the fuck out. Like, you don't like it, you can leave. You can leave.
But, I mean, isn't that the whole point of the discourse? And I say this to say, because the Barbie universe is not a matriarchy in the truest sense of the word. It's just patriarchy with women, right? Where, yeah. So, I haven't seen it. This is just the commentary that I have heard based on the content of the movie. So the commentary I have heard is that they're trying to create an equitable society by the end of this, because, you know, the I'm just Ken and whatever is very reminiscent of how women are treated in today's society. So it's kind of like a gender flipped version of the current version of patriarchy. Is what I heard.
No.
Again, it's what I heard. That's the critique that I heard. And so yeah. That is like why it's resonated with so many people, because, you know, the Kens are just like the women in modern society and all the struggle that we've had to deal with and the oppression.
I can see that. Maybe in the beginning of the movie, yes. But as the movie goes on, it's very clear the Kens are men. Like, they're men who are just refuse to be put in a corner. And they're just like, yeah, we're just going to run shit now. Now it's our shit. And, like, women would never do that. Like, we still can't. Women can't do that. So, like, how is it flipped if women could never, ever get that opportunity, you know? Men can just literally up and decide, okay, we want to be in charge now. Now we're in charge. Like, it just doesn't... For me, it was like, what the...
Okay.
Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I haven't seen it. So I'm listening to your take on it and listening to other people's take on it. And that's the only common thing I think we've been able to find from both versions is that it does involve men being men and subjugating women.
It does. So in my opinion, it sucked. People loved it. So, to each their own.
Yes.
And I think, yeah, that's about it for me. My bladder is going to burst.
Okay, well, I'm going to go let Lex pee, and I'll just take y'all out by myself. So thank you so much for joining us today. We didn't hit our 45-minute mark, but we tried. So once again, I'm Jen, she's Lex, we are the Bachelorettes, and we will catch you in 2 weeks after the VIP premiere. So we're going to talk about the first two episodes of Bachelor in Paradise. So that's what's up.
Yes. So we'll see y'all in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay, bye.